Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence, orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have you opened your gift yet? This is Wretched Radio. No, it's not a surprise party. It is the gift that you were given when you were born again. Did you know you received a gift upon salvation? Not only did your God graciously die to forgive you of your sins, to justify you, to adopt you, and to one day glorify you, He also gives you a present, if you will. What is inside that box with a bow on it? It's a spiritual gift. Do you know what your gift is? You should. In fact, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, it is my contention you're missing the Christian boat. No, I don't mean you're not saved. What I mean is you are not going to enjoy Christianity to the full. Furthermore, I don't think you'll enjoy life to the full. God has put certain things in place. It is woven into the fabric of the universe. This is how the place operates. These are the things that God prescribes for us to do. And if we will follow His prescription, then things are just better overall. Now, remember, there's no promise that everything will go perfectly. The book of Proverbs is not a quid pro quo book, but the book of Proverbs promises if you do the things that God commands, overall, life is just better. Why? Why does it work that way? It's not karma. It's sovereignty. It's what it is. And God's providence. It is when we do what we are supposed to be doing, it goes well because that's the way the place operates. If you worked in a factory and you didn't follow the instructions for running the assembly line, you're going to be like Lucy and Ethel. You're just not going to be able to keep up with the line. It's going to be a fiasco. You're going to break something. Now, there you are. You're in the factory. You've got your uniform on. You're doing stuff, but it's not going to go well if you aren't following the instructions. Ditto with the planet. There are certain things that God has put in place for us to enjoy human flourishing. For instance, marriage. Marriage is something that God gives. Now, granted, marriage is not superior to being single, but typically, as a general rule, God has given most of us to be married. And when we follow His recommendation, then things just go better because we're supposed to be married. We're supposed to have a mate because it's not good for man to be alone. Being a parent is another form of human flourishing. That if we have kids because they're a blessing from the Lord, overall life is just more enjoyable. Now, I know it can be harder with kids, but it's absolutely more enjoyable. And isn't it a tragedy that so many people these days aren't getting married and they aren't having children? Could that possibly explain why so many people are just unhappy? They're not doing the things that God has prescribed for them to do in order to have shalom, education. That's another thread in the fabric of reality. We're supposed to be learning stuff. We're supposed to be gaining knowledge. Why? Because God is knowledgeable. He knows, well, everything. We're His image bearers. And so when we strive to know more stuff, we're striving to be like God. Things go better. It's better to know more stuff than not, as a rule. Depends on what you know, of course, but if you're knowing good stuff, it's just better. So you've got marriage, you've got yourself children, you've got yourself education. What about work? Work is another area that God has said, do this, and things are just going to be better for you. Not simply because you make money and then you can buy stuff. No, we're here to work. It's a thread in the fabric of reality. And these days, what is the trend with younger generations? We do not work hard. We work enough to play hard. That's backwards. We don't work to play. We don't work to just so that we can do fun stuff. We play so that we can rest from work, so we can get back at it and make stuff and build stuff and subdue the planet. And when we do, when we've got our priorities straight, overall, you're just, life is better. You know what? This is good. This is the way it's supposed to be, because that's the way it actually is. But I think that there's another thread in the fabric of reality, and this is one that I fear a lot of Christians just plain miss. And it is the thread of exercising your spiritual gift. When you were made alive in Christ, the Holy Spirit empowered you with something. Now, we can debate if it is a brand new gift. It's something that you could do that you've never done before, or it is simply a gift that he gave you from birth. He knit you together that way. But now your desire is to exercise it for the strengthening of the body. That's the purpose of spiritual gifts, that we use them in the context of the local church so that the local expression of Christ's church on earth is strengthened. People see it and they want in. That's why spiritual gifts are another thread in the fabric of reality. If we are not exercising that gift, just something's always going to be off. It just won't be right. You won't live the fullest Christian life that you could. Why? Because God has designed you to use that gift, and he has given you a very particular gift. 1 Peter 4, providentially, we're preaching on that at Alpharetta Bible Church. It talks about it in verse 10. Each one has received a special gift. Each one. And the Bible, you know, talks about spiritual gifts a ton. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. It talks about a list of gifts that you get. Now, those lists, by the way, they're not exhaustive. There's more gifts that the Spirit gives than are listed there. How do I know? Because none of the lists are the same. If the lists matched perfectly, then I would say, okay, that's it. There's 10 gifts, the end. But no, I don't think that's the point. It really lists bigger categories, and the expressions and the manifestations of those gifts can look really varied, which is exactly what we need, because we need a lot of variety inside of the church based on the context, based on the century, based on the need, based on what is available as far as means inside of a church. We are to exercise that gift. And we see lists given in the Bible. So my question for you is, are you stewarding your gift? That's what it says that we're supposed to do, that we serve one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. And in other words, if you haven't thanked God for your spiritual gift, really should, because it really is beyond magnanimous that he would give us that too. And he commands us to use it, not just in 1 Peter, but consider the parable of the talents, 5, 2, and 1. What happened to the dude who buried the talent? He was not received well, you wicked and slothful servant. Luke 13 talks about the importance of, hey, get to work. Do stuff for the sake of the kingdom, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. That's why he wants us to use our gifts. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Did he catch that? That there are different gifts. Now, in 1 Peter 4:10, he just divides them into two major categories, speaking gifts and serving gifts. Now, I think that there's other gifts, gift columns, if you will. I'm not sure anybody's ever done that, but there's office gifts, apostle, prophet, elder, deacon, I think evangelist. Now, prophet and apostle, the foundation has been laid, so we have no more further need for apostles. You don't lay a foundation on top of a foundation. So the offices that are gifts also, I think that we can rightly categorize it that way, I think are elder, deacon, and arguably evangelist. I think that there's also some sign gifts, which I don't think are operative today because they aren't needed, because the purpose of those sign gifts was to do what? To authenticate the message of the messenger. Now that we have the message book, we've got a more sure word. So those gifts, I don't think are operative, but in Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4 doesn't list a bunch, but Ephesians 4 does, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 lists all kinds of gifts. So let's just do a little gift inventory, shall we? So that you could hear the different categories of gifts and go, hey, I think that's mine. I could be doing that in the context of my local church. Now, I will say this. While this exercise will be helpful, here's the best way to know what your spiritual gift is. Do something. Not kidding. Do something. Start doing stuff at church. That is the bestest way to determine, you know what? Yeah, people are affirming it. I'm digging it. People seem to be blessed by it. I found my gift. You find it by doing it. Nevertheless, as a helpful exercise, let's make our way through these different gifts and what they can look like in the context of the local church so that you will not be a wicked and slothful servant, but you will steward your gift well. Next on Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to FortisPlus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to FortisPlus.org.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1807. the British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You've got one. Do you know what it is? This is Wretched Radio. The Holy Spirit has gifted you. Why? So that you can open up your present, sit at home, and enjoy it? No. So that you can identify it, use it in the context of your local church, and what's going to happen? You're going to bless others, and you will be blessed. Your life will be enriched by identifying your spiritual gift and using it. Why do we think that the Holy Spirit actually gave us a gift? So that it can sit on a shelf? No, we can use it. We must use it. And if we don't use it, I don't think that we're going to enjoy the Christian life to the full. Why? Because that is the prescription for enjoying a Christian life to the full. Now, I get it. Perhaps historically, you've been in a context where using your gift wasn't fun. That can happen. I get that. Might I encourage you to overcome those sentiments? Why they're there, I don't know. But if they are there, might I encourage you to look past them somehow to get back in the game? To start using your gifts in the context of a church? Because when you go about the business of using that there gift, you're a part of something bigger. You're a part of something transcendent. You're a part of something eternal. This is something, actually, there's a possibility, please don't tell good Bible teaching seminaries, that we're maybe going to be doing some topical preaching at the end of the summer at Alpharetta Bible Church. And I think one of those topics is going to be the attitude of service. A friend at church, he was telling me that in his house, his kids don't have chores. I think this was taken from a movie. Nacho Libre, I think it was the name of the movie. I've never seen it. Nevertheless, I think that it was intended to perhaps be a joke that, you know, sweeping the floor at the monastery, that's your priestly duty, you know, to make it sound better. But that's what it is. That's what everything is for us. It's a priestly duty. You're not just sweeping the floors at church. That is a priestly duty. Why? Because you're doing something bigger. We're not just keeping the doors open. This is a local expression of the Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints on this earth. That's a big deal. And if we view ministry like that, and if we view chores like that, that's what my buddy does with his family. All of the kids, they get priestly duties. They don't get chores. They get priestly duties. I got to tell you, I wish he had told me that like 20 years ago. We would have used that with the kids. Hey, don't see doing the dishes as being just, I always have to do the dish. I've always got to dry. I've always got to take out the garbage. No. As a Christian, you're a royal priest. And when you are in a family unit, you are doing things to contribute to this God-ordained unit. Ditto with the local church. That is why I would encourage you, if you haven't been volunteering at church, if you haven't been engaged, if you haven't been committed to doing something for a season there, you're not doing a priestly duty. And it's a privilege to be able to get to do that. With that, let's go through the list of spiritual gifts that are offered in the Bible so that you can identify yours and enjoy the blessing of doing your priestly duty. There are speaking gifts. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God, or your translation maybe says the oracles of God. So teaching is one of them. This is from, again, this is a compilation from those four sections of scripture that list the different gifts. Teaching. So are you good at teaching? And just so you know, it doesn't need to be done in Sunday school or leading a small group. It can be discipling, one-on-one, just teaching somebody that you use that gift to do what? To strengthen the other believer for the sake of the strengthening of the church. Do you have that gift? What about exhortation? It's the gift of encouragement. You are a motivator. You spur people on. Do you have that gift? Do you just like to, hey, you're kind of a cheerleader type of personality? How could you use that gift? Well, in the context of the church, you could do it every single Sunday. Every time people get together, be an encourager. I mean, intentionally go, I am going to encourage 5 people today. I'm just going to say a good word to them. Or just act like I'm really glad to see them because I actually am really glad to see them. What about hospital visits? Could it be exercised that way? What about just writing encouraging notes? You like to encourage, but maybe the face-to-face stuff is a little hard. Write notes. Use your gift of encouragement. There's the gift of word of wisdom. You know the Bible in such a way that when you see something, you can connect the dots. You just apply biblical truth to situations, even very complex situations. You just see right through it. You've got a word of wisdom, so you can do counseling, conflict resolution, marriage counseling, crisis management, be involved in church discipline, strategic planning for the church. Do you hear all the different ways that you can exercise just that gift alone? There's word of knowledge. This is when you've got an insightful understanding of biblical truth. So you might be somebody who's just really, really good at apologetics, writing educational materials, answering difficult questions. Biblical counseling would fall under that also. Doing any researching different issues or, for instance, researching false teaching, which might actually be falling underneath the category of distinguishing spirits, which is the gift of discernment. You just smell it. You see it, you go, yeah, that's a problem. You just automatically know something is off. Now, of course, you've got to confirm that with scripture, but that is a gift. The gift of discernment isn't having a hunch about something. The gift of discernment is, I'm listening to that teaching, it's off, and I know why. So you can evaluate teaching. Here's something that you could do for your pastor. If you've got that particular gift, and I know there are people who do, you could save your pastor so much time. You could let him know, hey, pastor, we want you studying the word. And having to know what is out in the horizon, the stinky stuff that is coming out of evangelical Christianity, I'll keep an eye on that. And when something bubbles up that I think is big enough, I'll just let you know. I'll send you an executive summary of it just so you know about it. That would be such a blessing to a pastor. And he'd be like, oh, good. I don't need to worry about the latest Shack, which I guess they're making part 2 of the Shack because there were so many unanswered questions in the first one. Do you have the gift of evangelism? Do you have the ability to share your faith in a way that's just pretty natural for you? Well, you could do missions work, campus ministry, prison ministry, street evangelism. You could train others. Those are all what you would call the speaking gifts. And again, that is not exhaustive. But then you've also got yourself the serving gifts. That's 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So there's the gift of service or the gift of helps. You just meet practical needs. You just do stuff. Yeah, you're the chair setter-upper or taker-downer. You clean stuff. You give people rides. Do meal prep. Help somebody move. Your office support, technology support, maintenance work, all of those things. And you like doing it. It's like, I just like doing that. And I see people like that at our church. It's just wonderful to observe. It's so encouraging that people are willing to do the kind of the foot washing chores. And they do it happily and faithfully. What is that? Here's what you do. If you're a gift of helps and you exercise that gift, you encourage the rest of us. We see that and it's like, wow, they love the Lord. They're doing service activities. I'm not maybe inclined to do that, but they are. Why do they do that? It's because they love the Lord. The gift of giving. You got money. Start using it. Help needy members. Provide scholarships. Fund outreach. Purchase equipment. Emergency assistance. Host missionaries. There's the gift of leadership. You just run stuff toward biblical goals. So you can do ministry coordination, planning, volunteer management, event oversight, budget stewardship, team building, project management, policy implementation, ministry evaluation. Is that your gift? You have the gift of mercy, showing compassion to the hurting. Hospital visits, grief support, disability ministry, elderly care, widow ministry, caring for shut-ins. That would be the gift of mercy, the gift of faith. You just don't get wobbled. You should just lead stuff. Come on, we got it. We're going to do this, folks. I'm never wavering on stuff. You're just, you're going to launch new ministry, encourage others, missions ventures. There's the gift of helps, assisting others so that ministry can flourish. So it's administrative, hospitality support, kids ministry support. You just help others to use their gift. There's the gift of administration, and on it goes. How do you know what your gift is? Well, you maybe were helped with this list, but if not, start doing stuff in the context of your local church, and it will be made clear lickety-split. And here's the bonus and the blessing. You will have more shalom, and you will enjoy your Christian life more to the full. Guaranteed, because that's the way it works. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.